Hello and welcome to our interview with Rockabilly Hall of Fame member Stanley Walker. Stanley was one of those invisible legends that helped pave the way for American music and music worldwide, as the rockabilly style has had influence all over the world. In the early 1950s, a distinctive musical movement emerged in the United States, particularly in the southern regions. It was known as rockabilly. It blended Western styles like country with the rhythms of blues. Rockabilly is considered the cornerstone of classic rock and roll. The term itself is a fusion of rock from rock and roll and hillbilly, a nod to the influence of country music, often referred to as hillbilly music in the 40s and the 50s. Drawing inspiration from genres like Western swing, boogie-woogie, jump blues, and electric blues, rockabilly forged its identity with strong rhythms, boogie-woogie piano riffs, distinctive vocal twangs, even doo-wop a cappella singing, and the innovative use of tape echo. Pioneered by iconic figures such as Carl Perkins, Johnny Burdett, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Conway Twitty, Johnny Cash, the rockabilly style reached its zenith in the late 50s before experiencing a decline. However, in the late 70s and early 80s, they witnessed a resurgence of interest in rockabilly, breathing a new life into the genre. Even in the 21st century, rockabilly continues to captivate audiences, particularly with various musical subcultures. Its enduring legacy has given rise to diverse substyles and left a definite mark on the evolution of other genres, notably influencing the development of punk rock. Behind every one of those iconic names that we just mentioned were the invisible legends. The guys you don't know their names, but you've heard them play 1,000 times. One of those is local legend Stanley Walker. I've known Stanley for many, many years and recently had a chance to sit down with him and just talk to him, two old friends, about life. Here's our interview with Rockabilly Hall of Famer, Stanley Walker. I wanted to just talk to you about music in your life. That's all I wanted to do. So I just figured we could sit here and chit-chat. We've known each other for a while, and I want to know about Stanley Walker because you are full of stories. You told me one time, I think you put it, that you were just 18 years old, 19 years old, and y'all were making $50 a week, and you thought that you were rich. And to me, that was you were laying the foundation for every piece of American music that is out today.
Yeah, we hit it off as soon, you know. Me and Sam Phillips, we wasn't all that many bunch of buddies.
Let me add a little context to what Stanley and I were talking about here. In case you don't know, Stanley was guitarist for Rockin' Ray Smith. Ray Smith is one of those artists that's not a household musical name, but he helped pave the way for American music, and he left us too soon. Stanley Walker started playing with Ray Smith in 1956 and stayed with him for about 15 years. He backed him up and played guitar on all their Sun Records songs. Ray Smith was the only artist that Stanley ever recorded with. Now, Ray Smith and the boys, they arrived down at Sun Records in Memphis in 1958 in January. A lot of talent and a lot of hope. He was on the label in the critical years, just behind the first wave of artists who defined that rockabilly sound. The label needed someone to take another notch when Johnny Cash left and Jerry Lee's career hit the press barrier. Ray Smith had the voice and the desire to have been that man. His songs underlined it. Sam and Judd Phillips liked the boys a lot. And Ray's lead guitarist, Stanley Walker, was the main man in the band, and he remained present through all of Smith's early Sun sessions. Let's get back to Stanley.
Now, you know, the owner of Sun Records.
Sam.
But he helped me out, you know. He gave me a chance to, you know, I got the music up behind Ray Smith, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but his brother Judd, we were just like that. I mean, there wasn't nothing,
Judd Phillips.
Nothing between me and Sam.
Right.
But we just...
You and Judd hit it off pretty good.
We just connect, you know?
Yeah.
But it was quite an experience. I'm glad I done it.
Now, let's start with the very first time that you got into music. Were you super young? Was your family musical?
Yeah.
Mom and dad?
Yeah, my dad played the guitar, you know, and then my mom played the piano.
And they sing around
but
the house.
But we wasn't
when
really
you were
all
young.
That close, you know. I wasn't, because I hit the road, man, you know.
And when you were young, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what about your first guitar? Tell me about your first guitar.
Well, now, my first guitar was an old Gene Autry guitar. Same old story. Same old story with all the pickers. Everybody yeah. had a Gene Autry guitar.
Gene Autry.
But anyway, I'd sit on the porch, you know, and try to learn how to play, and I'd listen to the Opry.
And you pick by ear?
Yeah, by ear.
You'd hear that guitar, and then you'd run your finger up that string till you found that note.
Yep. Man. I tuned an E, and I'd listen to an old guy named, what's his name? Anyway, I'd just started on the porch playing, and where was I?
You were sitting on the porch. You were sitting on the our buddy Ross.
Yeah, listen, I was listening to this guy play it, so yeah. I'd play it like a dobro.
Come in here, sit down.
I'd play it like a dobro, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'd turn it up and learn, get licks, you know, to play it.
Yeah. Let him step over there.
It was a journey for me, you know. It really was. You know, it's been a journey for me. And I've just got so many people I love so much around here. It's been backing me for 50 years, man.
Yeah, a long time.
I'm not kidding.
Stanley was a self-taught guitar player who started fooling around with the instrument when he was not even 6 years old. His sound is very different than other guitarists because he always tunes his guitar to straight E. It's a very distinct sound that ended up matching the intensity of Ray Smith's vocals. Sam Phillips once said, "Ray Smith was probably the most intense person I ever recorded. He was totally wrapped up in what he was doing. Nobody wanted recognition more than Ray." Now, Stanley was not originally a member of the group that Ray formed in 1956, the Rock and Roll Boys, but he soon replaced the original guitarist, Raymond Jones. Ray and Stanley were as close as brothers. They were always together. They also sang on one Sun track, the Charlie Rich composition, Sail Away.
Sail Away. I'm gonna sail away from sorrow. Gonna leave first thing tomorrow. Since I met you, my life is not worthwhile. I'm gonna sail away from sadness into a land of gladness. Why was I so disillusioned by your smile? I'm gonna sail away tomorrow, get away from all my sorrow. I may live on an island in the sea. I may find joy in some green valley, be a bum living in an alley, but I'll be happy long as you're not there with me. Sadness, my heart, a heart of madness. Oh, I pray that I will never think of you. I'm gonna sail away from sorrow. Gonna leave first thing tomorrow. I'm leaving you and everything I own. So go on out and have the fun you love. What I have played is small enough to get away from the sadness that I've known. So go on out and have the fun you love. What I have played is small enough to get away from the sadness that I've known.
Ray said in an interview one time, "Stanley was a short guy, so we took 5 stacks of records. In fact, it was Bill Justice's record of Raunchy and stood Stanley up there so he could get even with me to sing in the mic." Unfortunately, Sail Away wasn't really a hit for anybody, as Stanley explains.
Jerry Lee and Charlie recorded it after me and Ray had it, because Ray and I didn't have a hit on it. We just had it on the album.
Right.
But and Charlie and Jerry Lee didn't do anything with it either.
Yeah.
Ray Smith was not the only artist that Stanley played with. Jerry Lee Lewis, Lefty Frizzell, Roy Clark. He played in Gene Shepherd's band at the Grand Ole Opry. But Stanley probably owes it all to Miss Dottie Rambo. Now, when did you meet Ray Smith? Were y'all buddies? Did y'all meet through somebody else, or were y'all
buddies?
Well,
what happened was I'd been working with Dottie Rambo.
Yeah.
And so Reba, her daughter, had to start the school, so we had to quit evangelizing, you know, church.
Yeah.
Because Reba had to go to school, so I had to get out and find a job.
Yeah. And this was after you had gotten your guitar. Now, when did you get your one guitar from?
Dottie?
Yeah, Dottie.
It was in the 50s. Okay. Somewhere around.
And how did she discover you?
Well, I was at a church here in Calvert City.
Yeah.
And she heard me playing, and she fell in love with my guitar picking.
Yeah, and she wanted to get you a guitar.
Naturally, I loved her because I loved her singing. She done that Martha Carson music.
Yeah.
And that was just my style of guitar playing. You know, that's what I liked. Joe Edwards, a boy by the name of Joe Edwards, done it with Martha Carson.
And she got you that first guitar, or one of your
Well,
first
that was
guitars,
my first.
Your first nice.
You know, nice guitar. We walked in this music store. I just went to work with them. And I seen this silver jet guitar laying on the counter. Mm-hmm. So Dottie told me, said, Stanley, you can pick that up. It's yours.
I bet you couldn't believe that, huh?
Oh, it teared me up, man. I mean, I never had nothing, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
But she bought me my guitar. She told me one time she wrote a song about me.
She did.
I never did get to hear it.
Oh.
I wish I could get it, boys. What I'd give for that. But she told me, she said, I wrote a song about it. She loved me, you know, and I did her too, you know. She's just like my mama, you know.
Yeah.
She cooked and washed my clothes. And
took care of you, kept you in line.
She took care of me.
Yeah. So tell me about Ray when you met Ray. Ray was a shining star, wasn't he? He was a flash, wasn't he?
He was what?
He was a flash, wasn't he?
Oh,
he was a shining star, wasn't he?
Energy ain't oh Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, he was something. To me, he was one of the greatest artists I ever worked with, I guess. He just had a way of getting people, you know what I mean?
That's what I was fixing to say. He seemed like one of those guys that if he'd have been here longer, he'd have been one of those people that are like, oh, he's a legendary front man.
Yeah.
Right, Ray Smith. Because some of those guys are just like, they're just front men. And some guys don't have that charisma. And it looks like Ray had that charisma.
A lot of people didn't get to see him, but when I was working with him in the 60s, we was in Las Vegas, and he would get them people in his hands, man, getting movie stars. I'd look over there and there's this James Stewart.
Yeah.
Janet Leigh. All them old-timers in the movies, those mean guys.
Yeah.
It's just something to see it, you know?
And he had them right there in his hand.
He had them.
Yeah.
They loved him. He was a showman, boy. That guy was. He was something. Not only did he sing, he was a showman.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he looked like he
did. It was a great experience for me to get to work with him, boy. I miss him today.
And you got a lot of really good experience and connections from working with Ray Smith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
got me to work with a lot of artists.
Is he responsible for the whole Sun Records?
Oh, I don't know about that. It hadn't been Ray, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah,
he got a contract with Sam Phillips.
Yeah,
you know,
with Sam.
At Sun Records, yeah.
And that got you down there meeting all those folks.
Yeah, and they heard me play, so they used me to make his music for him.
Yeah.
Arrangements and stuff. Me and Charlie Rich and Jack Clement.
Yeah, Jack Clement.
Jack Clement became a... artist.
Yeah, he's pretty big artist. I was just looking at some of his stuff.
Got Charlie Pride started. I played on all of Ray's Sun Records. I'm proud of that, you know.
You guys were putting out these songs back in the day, though, that was at the time that it seemed like the record companies and the record producers and some of the ones that did not have the best interests of the artists in mind, all they thought about was money All they wanted was money. So they would push certain songs, and some of those songs, like Sail Away, that were good songs, kind of got pushed to the side. And nowadays, people are like, oh, I've never heard that song. Well, man, that's a great album cut.
And we was asked to be on the Opry with Sail Away, but Ray's managers, he wouldn't go for it. I don't know why he didn't. But I do know why he thought we're doing Rockin' Little Angel, you know.
And that was the big one. That I mean, with that one. Rockabilly and the that rock the and biggest. Roll that was coming up at the time.
Ralph Emery heard it. I used to listen to Ralph Emery's show years ago, you know, and I got with him, and he had me on his show. I never will forget it. It was me and Marty Robbins on his show because he loved Rockin' Little Angel, you know. Ralph did.
Little angel, come down from the sky, down from the sky, come on down from the sky. Rockin' little angel, come down from the sky, come on down and stop teasing me. Come on down and stop teasing me. Stop teasing, little angel, stop teasing, little angel. Rockin' little angel, I love you so, I love you so, I love you so. Rockin' little angel, I love you so. I want the whole wide world to know. I want the whole wide world to know. Rock, 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 rock a little angel. Rock, 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 rock a little angel. Rock, 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 rock a little angel. Come on down and stop teasing me. Come on down and stop teasing me. Rockin' little angel, you're oh so sweet, you're so sweet, you're so sweet. Rockin' little angel, you're oh so sweet. Why don't you make my life complete? Come on and make my life complete. Rock, 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 rock a little angel. Rock, 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 rock a little angel. Rock, 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 rock a little angel. Come on down and stop teasing me. Come on down and stop teasing me. Stop teasing, little angel. Stop teasing, little angel. Rockin' little angel with your honey drippin' lips. Your honey drippin' lips with your honey drippin' lips. Rockin' little angel with your honey drippin' lips. Let me kiss away my blues. Let me kiss away my blues. Rock, 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 rock a little angel. Rock, 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 rock a little angel.
Now, when you're playing with Ray and you're going and you're meeting all these people, it opens up a lot of opportunities for you to be able to play with all kinds of other
everybody.
People.
Everybody. Roy Clark. I don't know if I told you this or not, but the reason I got to work with these stars was our agent booked us on package tours and different things when people didn't have their own band. We had to back them.
Yeah.
So I got to pick one.
Yeah. Yeah, and you basically had, you could just play with everybody.
Because yeah, I did.
You're the unknown guy in the background that everybody always hears.
Yep. Sure was. We played a lot of places, man. I'm proud of it. You know I am. But what I'm proud of most of all is my friends right around here.
Yep, coming back home.
Line, Graves, Livingston, all around here. They've been so good to me. It's just unreal. They've stood beside me and listened to them come see me and hear me sing, and that's everything, man. Money can't buy it.
Even through your heyday and all the screaming fans.
When it was rough.
And then,
when it was rough, they stood by me.
You know, two, three generations have passed, and some of these kids today, you say, Rock, he's in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, and they'll say, what's Rockabilly?
Yeah,
you know,
they don't even know what type of music record stuff did.
Yeah. One of those songs that us local Stanley Walker fans always try to get him to play is Old Easy Lovin', He Ain't Easy Anymore.
Old Easy Lovin', He Ain't Easy Anymore. The first time that I saw you, girl, it was heaven for sure. But you don't know hell I've had since you walked out of my door.
door. Now you've got the nerve to call me, say we'll make it like before. But old easy loving, he ain't easy anymore. That peaceful, easy thing we had is now a raging war. And the way we held together, it ain't holding anymore. I've had my share of lonely nights walking this old floor. And oh,
Stanley split up with Ray. He was tired of the road and formed his own country band, did a little bit more vocal recording. Stanley had recorded a record extremely rare in Atlanta as a singer called Please Don't Mention My Name, written and produced by Freddie Weller, and Winner Take All, written and produced by Joel South, and with a harmony vocal on it by Ray Smith. Now, this 45 is extremely rare. I have not been able to find a recording of it anywhere. Stanley said, I never thought about being a singer myself. I just wanted to be a backup guitar player. I finally kind of got into the singing business and recorded a few records of my own. One of them, released nationwide, was Old Easy Lovin' He Ain't Easy Anymore. It was almost a hit. Billboard gave it a recommendation, but it never did chart, so it never got any real good play. So, yeah, do you think you could handle all those screaming girls today?
I don't think I can handle it no more. I about hung it up about it. Oh, man, it was a journey.
But like Andy. I said earlier, looking back, as somebody that studies, and I really appreciate American music history and how music history has come up through America, you were laying the foundation of the building that has been built that is called rock and roll in American music. You guys were laying the concrete. And at the time, you were, how old were you? When you and Ray were out
I think I was
in the
about
bus.
18, I believe.
And you were making how much a week?
Oh, I don't know what I made. He started me out when I met Ray in 56.
Mm-hmm.
He started me out at $3.50 a night. But I had a place to live.
Right.
I had food. I had a Cadillac to drive.
And you were playing
I thought
music.
I was in heaven because I didn't have anything. Yeah. I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So it was just something that I just believe God meant for it to be. I really do. Well, I know it was.
Now, tell me the story of, I remember you telling me this one time. Tell me the story of Carl Perkins chasing y'all down.
Well, Carl was one of my favorite artists. We wasn't close or nothing. You know, I didn't know him personally that much, but he's one of my favorite artists, and he still is today. He just had so much heart in his music. To me, it just flowed out of him. You know, his guitar playing, his singing.
Yeah.
And we met Carl Perkins. We all recorded our son, see. So the way we met Carl Perkins was we was out on the road pulling our trailer. We pulled over take a break.
Y'all were and, taking a pee break, weren't you?
Here come this other car up beside us, screeching the wheels stopped. Carl jumped out and said, I'm going to meet Ray Smith right here. We met right on the highway.
Carl Smith. There's not many people in this world can say Carl chased
me
down
he was a dandy
while I was
boy.
Peeing.
He was a dandy.
Yeah.
But no, I just love Carl Perkins. I love Jerry Lee. I loved his playing.
Yeah.
I couldn't work with him.
He seemed like he was a horse of a different color.
Oh, yeah.
Of a couple of different colors.
I still love his talent.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Boy, as a person, I couldn't get along with him.
Yeah, he seemed like he was a spitball.
Yeah, I didn't last long at all with him.
What's the craziest thing that y'all ever did on the road?
Well,
or ever saw?
We done a lot of fighting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we all fought the band. If it wasn't a fight going on in the club, we'd fight in the band. Being on the road, you know, bored.
Yeah.
We went in this one place. If you want me to tell all this,
tell
I don't.
It.
We was in this club in Manistee, Michigan, playing a nightclub. And somewhere or another, my brother was with me. And they got into it or something like that. And we tore the club down and turned the bar over. It was awful.
Really?
Just like a bunch of kids fighting. And so...
Y'all was a bunch of kids fighting.
Oh, he was... Oh, you wouldn't believe it if I told you how that guy... He was something else, man.
Who?
I bet he didn't weigh 150 pounds.
Oh, Ray?
Man. Yeah. I've seen him whip a 200-pound man. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Is that... Y'all, I guess y'all played some pretty rough places.
Oh, we did. Started. I mean, that's what it was back then,
yeah.
You know?
That was how you done it back then.
All this stuff you see, and I mean, we lived it. I'm not proud of that fighting part, but I'm just telling you, you asked me about the roughest, rowdiest thing we did. And
That's bands. That's a brotherhood. Like you said, y'all are around each other all the time. You love each other,
yeah,
but you're like, brother, I love my, you know, but sometimes you're going to get on each other's nerves.
Them boys are just...
Yeah.
Stop the car and fight. No kidding.
Just pull over and beat each other.
Oh, boy. And I was too little. But it was a journey, Andy. It really was, buddy. Can you believe I've lived this long doing what I did? I can't believe it myself.
I think it's great.
I sit on the couch and I think about it. Did we really do that? You know, instances, things happen.
Yeah. In 1955, Jean Shepherd became one of the few female stars of the Grand Ole Opry, alongside Kitty Wells and Minnie Pearl. And being a member of the Grand Ole Opry, Jean performed regularly, which led to one of Stanley's most memorable moments. You've played down at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, that was my greatest thrill.
I started to say, well, I was going to ask
in
you what's your greatest...
In all the whole history of Hall of Fame and everything else, the Grand Ole Opry...
How what was the first time that you played?
We lived in Hendersonville. I lived with Jean Shepherd and her husband. We was going to the opera and I was doing my first night show.
Mm-hmm.
I told Jean, I said, I never will forget it. I said, Jean, I'm not sure I can do this. I've waited so long to play the Grand Ole Opry. You just have something you want to do in your mind. Out of everything where I played and everything else. And so she said, well, you play as good as any of them. And that helped. You know, that meant a lot to me for her to say that.
That confidence behind you.
Yeah, yeah. But I was so nervous, man.
I'd imagine.
I was just so nervous. I was just shaking. I knew them super pickers were standing behind me watching the new guy, you know, come in.
They was all new once, too, though.
Right. They had to do the same thing I did. They went through the same thing I did.
But I guess after that first song and that crowd erupts, I bet that was a feeling you never felt before.
I remember us standing in that circle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I got to stand in the circle was we did a three-part harmony song, Jean, her husband, and me.
Yeah.
We got a standing ovation.
Wow. Wow. What year was that? Do you remember?
69.
Will you put your hands together and make welcome, please, the first lady in country music to ever sell a million records, Miss Jeannie Shepherd.
1, 2, 3, 9.
Thank you.
Here's a song that a great man in country music made famous.
It was old Dizzy Dean's favorite song, and Dizzy Dean was a very favorite friend of mine. We hope you like our version of it. From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the queen of flowing mountains to the south down by the shore. She's mighty tall and handsome and known quite well by all. She's a combination called a Wabash Cannonball. She came down from Birmingham one cold December day. As she rode into the station, you could hear all the people say, there's a gal from Tennessee, she's long and she's tall. No changes can be taken on the Wabash Cannonball. Always be remembered in the course throughout the land. His earthly race is over and the curtains around him fall. They'll carry him home to victory on the Wabash Cannonball. They listen to Jean Gunn, the rumble and the roar, as she grinds along the woodland through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of engines, hear the lonesome hobo's call. They're riding through the jungles on the Wabash Cannonball.
There's Gene Shepherd. We appreciate you listening in to this interview with Rockabilly Hall of Famer Stanley Walker. In 2007, Stanley got a telephone call telling him that he had been inducted into the Rockabilly Hall of Fame.
Don't know much about it. It's just a lady in Wisconsin called me and said, asking me stuff. I didn't know her from Adam, but...
Right.
She said, well, Stanley, there's been some people asking about you. And I'm thinking, what's going on here, you know? I didn't know. I said, well, how many people are you talking about? She said, a lot of people. She says, we're going to put you in the Hall of Fame. And that's all I know about it. She got me in there.
She got you in. Because the fans got you in,
yeah,
Stanley.
They did.
Yeah.
All that stuff I done on the sound record, that guitar picking.
Yeah, that just goes to show there's more people out there that's like us that are like, man, who is that picker back there playing that song? Who is that man?
Yeah.
And they go and they start looking you up.
That's what she does. She called me.
Yeah.
I didn't know if she just put me on or what. Because, I mean, you know, that's a pretty big step for me, getting the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I see my name in that book. I mean, that kind of does something to me.
Yeah, and when people go and look at who's in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, I need to listen to this. They're in there for a reason.
She heard me for some reason or another. She called me out of nowhere. I didn't know that woman.
Stanley Walker is well known in the local Western Kentucky area, but not so much outside of our region. But he almost was. You almost became Luther Perkins' replacement.
Yep.
And Luther Perkins, for people that might not remember right off top of their head, he was Johnny Cash's Tennessee 2.
He sure was. He foundations of stuff like I did with Ray.
He was Luther Perkins' legendary guitar player.
Yep.
And when Luther Perkins passed away, didn't he pass away in a house fire? Wasn't it a house fire or something like that?
Seemed me like it was. I can't remember.
I think it was a house fire, if I'm not mistaken. You were playing where, in Paducah?
Well, I was in Paducah, and this guy came through at the nightclub where I was working in Paducah and asked me if I'd go to a little town in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it right now. I can't remember stuff sometime, but asked me if I'd go with him and back him up on a show he was doing. I said, oh, yeah, I'll go. I packed my stuff in the car and went with him. And so we was back there rehearsing, and this boy that I backed up was doing a Johnny Cash song called Folsom Prison Blues.
Mm-hmm.
This man standing there by me, I didn't know who it was, but he heard me playing that Luther Perkins stuff behind, because I cut my teeth on that.
Yeah.
Folsom Prison Blues. He said, he walked up to me and said, would you like to go to work for Johnny Cash? And I didn't know if he's putting me on or
right.
Who it was.
Asked you that kind
I didn't
of
know
question?
Who it was or nothing in the world. It was Stoney Cooper.
Oh yeah,
remember Wilma Lee and Stoney Cooper? It was Stoney Cooper. I said, "Oh, well, yes, sir, I would love to go to work for Johnny Cash. Yes, I would." And so he said, "Well, I'm gonna set it up." So I was on my way to Nashville, and Johnny Cash hired a brother-in-law.
Yeah, Yep, you was on your way when you heard it. Did you hear it on the radio?
I had to pull over.
Yeah, you heard it on the radio, you said.
I pulled over.
Man.
I teared up.
I started to say, that's got to be a gut punch.
I mean, that was that would have been a big step. But now, you know what? Let's look at it this way.
That's
the way
right.
I look at it. Our Savior knows what he's doing. I might not be here today talking to Andy if I'd have got that job.
That's exactly right.
Because it's a fast life, Andy. I'm not proud of some of the things happening in my life, but I've been blessed.
Yep.
I've really been blessed.
Now, did you ever meet Chet?
I met Chet out of all the years I learned his songs, you know, and stuff. I met him when Ray was doing Rockin' Little Angel.
Yeah.
And the only thing I asked him, I said, where's the nearest place I could get something to eat? And that was all of it. That was the end of that with Chet Atkins.
Yeah, I met Chet Atkins. I asked him where I could get something to eat. That's a great Stanley Walker story right there.
Yeah, that's the truth. He was a giant. Now, I'll tell you one thing. He had a boy working with him, Paul Gandalf, from out here, Simpsonia. Me and Paul was good buddies. We kind of grew up together. I'd drive 100 miles here, him play guitar. Oh, and he picked with Jerry Reed and Chet.
Yeah.
But he wasn't well known, you know.
Yeah.
But he was creative boy behind old Chet.
Yeah.
It got to where when you seen Chet out and you see Paul Gandalf.
You're listening to our interview with Rockabilly Hall of Famer Stanley Walker. I'm Andy Rudd. I've known Stanley for many years, and I like to consider him a friend. Just one of the good old boys. He likes to sit around and talk about music. And he is very admired by all the local musicians. Here's longtime friend of Stanley's and local musician Ross Jameson.
This guy right here is one of the best he's one of the best pickers I've ever seen. And I could listen to him play all day with the style that he has. He tunes in open E most of the time, so it doesn't do me any good to follow his fingers at all.
Right.
But I love the sound that he does, and Jimmy Henson and them, they'll back him very well. And we're really proud every time he comes over. We love this guy to death. It's a treat. It's an honor.
I'm trying to get a new album. I'm trying so hard. I've got some good material, and I got 5 or 6 songs already done. But the boy that's doing my album, Eddie Dunlap, you might have heard of him. He's become a big name now, I guess. He's been working with George Strait and everybody. And he's staff at the opera now.
Oh, very nice.
So he's busy, and he can't get to me yet.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get my album done.
Yeah. During our interview with Stanley Walker, I ended up pulling out a couple of old Ray Smith CDs, including one that has a picture book with a lot of old pictures of Stanley and the boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's old Ray.
Traveling with Ray, yeah.
And then this one right here is called Ray Smith, Rockin' Little Angel, The Sun Years Plus. And
yeah, The Sun Years is what I was on.
This has got a nice... I mean, look at...
yeah, I forgot about that.
Look at
that.
Look at that handsome young man right there.
Ain't that something? That's me.
Look at that guy.
I don't know about the handsome part, but that's me. I believe that picture was took in Montreal, Canada, I believe. Best I remember.
There's a little guy.
Yeah, this little guy, he was in Paducah. He was a friend of Ray. Ray had such a good heart, man. He'd help people.
That you?
No, now that's before I ever met Ray right there.
Okay.
That is. There's Ray and Jerry Lee. You get them two together, look out, the blood will go to flowing.
But this this book, this little booklet in here is really nice, and I think it does mention you in here.
Yeah, I think it does. I don't know.
A bunch, yeah. Because it's talking about, here's that classic. Here's his classic picture.
Yeah, that was in Montreal. And I was playing bass right there. For some reason, his other guitar picker was picking with him for a while. And I played bass. I love bass, but I missed my guitar. So I went back playing guitar.
Gosh, there's 33 songs just on this CD.
He's got one song out on one of them albums called My First Lonely Weekend, I believe that's the name of it. Man, it's powerful. It ought to have been a number one.
My me feeling blue. My first Saturday night without you found me going to a movie I didn't want to go to. Then I drove around town listening to some country music that I never paid much attention to. And it seemed that every song told a part of life that I related to me and you. A feeling that's so new. I tried to read the morning paper while watching Sunday ball games, but I never could get my mind off you. And that's how it's been. My first lonely weekend, my first lonely weekend without you.
There is a, there's always been this little note in here. This little note was printed, it's in 2008. That I guess Greg had had in this CD that I don't know if he'd ever shared it with you, but somebody had sent it to him. John Holmes had sent this to Greg and said that, tell Stanley that the other boys on that session, this session, were Dean Perkins.
Yeah.
James Webb.
Right.
Gary Diamond.
Yep.
Played the drums.
Mm-hmm.
James Webb played the bass. Dean Perkins guitar. And on piano, you remember who was on piano?
Charlie Rich. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've kept that in here all these
years.
That's
great, man.
Yeah. Old Rockin' Ray Smith. He was from Melbourne?
Melbourne.
How did he get discovered?
You know, I don't know. I don't
probably
remember.
Playing in Paducah?
I guess so.
Yeah.
That's where I first heard of him.
Now, Paducah back in the 50s, that was, if you were a musician, that's where you went to make a little money? Was there any other place around here close to play? Was there clubs
just,
in Paducah?
Just clubs, nightclubs, you know.
Oh, okay.
Taverns.
Little taverns in Paducah that would have you all in play?
Bar joints.
Were most of those people accepting, or was it mostly the younger kids that wanted to come in there that they were trying to get?
Well, we had a lot of young people come in. You know, they wasn't old enough to get in.
I'm sure the laws weren't as strict.
But I still meet people
now,
every day that tell me they used to come see me when I was, well, they wasn't old enough to get in. And
you just said it. There's people today that tell you that I come to see you before I was old enough to get in. You know what that means, Stanley? That means that they've been a lifelong fan.
It sure does, buddy. Mm-hmm. My old heart just, oh.
A lot of people out there that love you.
It's been a journey.
Well, thanks for coming in and
talking
to me.
Oh, thank you, man. We appreciate you so much playing that country music, boy.
Well, I appreciate you.
I usually pick the wife up at 6 o'clock. She works at night, and I hear you every morning at 6.
Oh, you're the one.
Every morning at 6 o'clock.
You're the one. Okay, now I know who it is.
I listen to you.
Well, I appreciate you sitting in once again, Stanley
Walker. Thank you
Walker.
So much, brother. We love you, buddy.
Stanley Walker, Rockabilly Hall of Famer, one of the invisible legends of American music, and my friend. I'm Andy Rudd, and this has been our interview with Rockabilly Hall of Famer, Stanley Walker.